all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, August 24th, 2023, National Waffle Day, International Strange Music Day, National Burger Day, National Knife Day, National Peach Pie Day. Those are all fine and good, but I would like to also take note that this is Ukrainian Independence Day. This day in 1991, what we all referred to back then as the Ukraine, broke away from the Soviet Union and dropped the because in the language there, it implies, you know, that they were a possession of the Soviet Union and they are not anymore. And so they're referred to as Ukraine. And this should be a day to continue to mark their independence from the Soviet Union. And instead, you have Vladimir Putin trying to, by force, stitched the old Soviet Union back together. He thought Ukraine was going to be a very quick first step and then go for the others. It hasn't been a quick first step, but that hasn't stopped him. As you could tell yesterday in the, you know, so unfortunate crashing of a business jet that happened to have Mr. Prigozhin in there, the person who almost staged a coup against Putin. So just another day in the old Soviet Union. And as we learned last night, there are some Republican candidates for president who understand the stakes, and there are some who decidedly do not. And voters need to think about that very carefully. We do try to vote with our pocketbooks and other domestic issues, but there are some foreign policy issues that could involve our young American men and women in uniform if we don't think carefully before we vote. And it's not just Ukraine. It's Mexico. There were candidates last night talking about invading Mexico, using force in Mexico. It's as if the word quagmire never came to them, you know, where Mike Pence said, we're going to partner with the Mexican military and we're going to hunt down these cartels. How easy do you really think that's going to be? Look what Mexico has gone through all these years. And yeah, maybe you think the military in Mexico is like the Keystone Cops, you know, a bunch of guys with just some, you know, some clubs and pop guns or something. No, there's actual military and law enforcement there, and it has been a long, hard slog. And you want to drag American troops into that instead of simply solving the immigration problem? And by the way, speaking of the immigration situation here, how about Chris Christie's answer about, well, what do you do with the undocumented immigrants here already? And his was basically round them up and send them back. So by the time you get done doing that, and by the time you get done completely trashing schools, which was also a feature of the debate yesterday, you wonder what's going to be left in the American workforce. Because we've seen at the state level, you know, a complete unwillingness to embrace the problems of our labor force, the worker shortage, the conditions that need to be improved. You're not going to see any kind of a pro-worker sentiment in the crowd that was debating yesterday. It's part of why you still see workers on strike up here in Chippewa Falls at the Leinenkugel Brewery. You have the International Teamsters fresh off a deal with UPS now setting their sights on Molson Coors, their parent company, and calling for an outright boycott on all products Molson, Miller, and Coors. I think you're going to hear more about this little strike in Chippewa Falls before all is said and done. And let's not forget, as we're still talking about the workforce, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy talking about how we just need more women not to have careers, just stay home and raise the babies. So you're going to take even more women out of the workforce. You're not going to have any undocumented immigrants because apparently we've got the money to round up everybody and send them back. I just don't see a serious discussion about our workforce and the caliber of our labor and making sure that, you know, workers are treated as people and not just as drones. Well, let's get away from the debate last night and tell you what else is coming up in this hour. Our hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly introduces us to the Door County Farm for Vets, which offers ag skills, rehabilitation, and other services for veterans as one more attempt to stem the epidemic of veteran suicides in this country. It is absolutely atrocious and a tragedy that, you know, so many veterans are taking their lives. And so this is one instance where some people are stepping up and trying to help veterans create a new chapter in their lives, a chapter that is happier, more fulfilling, and keeps them around their loved ones. We're also going to talk to Luke Mathers near the end of things. He had a busy day yesterday just trying to keep up with all the technology, shall we say. There was the live, shall we call it, pregame show for the debate. And I sent a text to him and to Todd Alba. And by the way, they and Kristen Bry, they did such a great job with the pre-coverage there, Aaron. But I noticed that there were some technical bugs as well. But the same could be said for the Brewers-Twins game. They had some real technical issues. And I think just between the heat and all the national media in Milwaukee, you heard it in our call with Joe Zepecki as well. I just don't think we had the full radio spectrum working in the Milwaukee area yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of it is the weather. If you were listening on the FM signal and you kept getting other stations mixed up, that was not anybody's fault. It was just the weather yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about the cold, but you know, the heat can play havoc on the technology and the machinery as well. Let's take a break here. We'll get our full weatherology forecast and talk about that Twins-Brewers game coming up next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, and when you're here for a couple hours every morning, you're up north. We'll be right back. It is not Elvis Costello's birthday until tomorrow. He will turn 69 tomorrow, but I actually had to start to spill over. Yet tomorrow is going to be crazy with the amount of celebrity birthdays and other historical events. And so a couple had to spill over, including Elvis Costello turning 69 tomorrow. All right, it's still going to be a hot one in some parts of Wisconsin, so you're going to want to take those precautions in that southern half of the state. Here to tell us more is Jennifer Vuchiski from Weatherology to give us the full details on the state of Wisconsin forecast. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like another really hot one for today for the southern half of the state primarily. An excessive heat warning remains in effect today from Richland Center over to Milwaukee. Sunny in those areas with highs in the 90s and heat indices above 100 degrees. There is a heat advisory as far north as Baldwin today. Sunny skies and pretty muggy there with highs around the mid-80s. For central Wisconsin, a little bit more cloud cover, mid to upper 80s for highs today. Friday, cooling a little across the board, mid to low 80s primarily. Upper 80s around southwestern Wisconsin. Some cloud cover coming in for the day. A slight chance for some showers and storms coming in for west central Wisconsin during the morning hours and arriving in the afternoon from Wausau, Oshkosh over to Richland Center. Then a chance for those showers and storms coming in by the evening hours in southern Wisconsin. For the weekend, cooler across the board as the cold front fully pushes through. Dry and sunny both Saturday and Sunday for all. Maybe a little bit more cloud cover towards the lakefront around Milwaukee on Saturday. Highs dropping into the 70s for everyone, though, so definitely some relief in sight. It does look like maybe some chances for rain entering into Wisconsin around Amory and Baldwin by Sunday night.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
Temperatures around Wisconsin right now include 73 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. La Crosse is at 83, on the way to 95 today. Hayward, by comparison, nice and chilly, 63. Only going to get to 79 today. And Oshkosh, you're at 70 degrees right now on your way to 86. It was the third hottest day ever in American Family Field / Miller Park history, dating back to 2001. 97 degrees at first pitch between the Brewers and Twins. And as if that wasn't rough enough, they had to play an extra frame to get things all done. But Willy Adames was the hero of the game. He homered. He singled home the tying run. And then he scored the winning run in the 10th inning off of a Bryce Terang two-out infield hit. And the Brewers swept the Twins with an 8-7 victory yesterday. So the Brewers have now won 5 in a row. They have swept the last two series. They are off today. The San Diego Padres come to town for a 3-game series starting tomorrow. In our last hour, we gave away two tickets to Sunday's Brewers-Padres game, and we're going to do the same thing around 6:45 tomorrow morning. If you can't win free tickets or buy your own, you can listen in the Fox Valley. You can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3, 1100 AM. In the Richland Center area, WRCE News from the Center is where you want to tune in for Brewers action at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. And again, Kristen Lyerly will be along in a bit with Hometown Health. Normally, she joins us a little bit earlier, but sent a note saying something to the effect of, did the OBGYN find herself busy overnight? And she said yes, that there was a middle-of-the-night delivery, and that I think she was thanking me for waking her up. I just know that being married to an OBGYN myself, I would not normally text somebody who's only gotten maybe a couple of hours of sleep after a delivery, but that's why I'm married to one, and the other is, you know, is a friend. You can wake up the friend without as many consequences as if you woke up the spouse. Donald Trump is going to be arrested today. This is not a repeat of a radio show. This is just, you know, the fourth time that he's going to be facing arraignment, where he's going to be facing the processing that comes. And in the case of these Georgia charges, it includes a mugshot. If you missed it yesterday, at least nine of Trump's co-defendants went ahead and showed up at the Fulton County Jail for processing. And so the parade of mugshots is already out there, including Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and Kenneth Chesbrough and more. And today, Donald Trump's mugshot will be part of that list. Then we'll find out the conditions of his bail, because he is going to be out on bail, bail that can be revoked by a judge, by one of four different judges. Four different judges have warned the former president to watch what he says and does, to avoid tampering or trying to tamper with a jury pool or trying to intimidate a witness. And he continues to press his luck. He did an interview with Tucker Carlson yesterday that hasn't received a lot of attention. And the part that should receive attention is where, again, Trump is not backing down from saying that the events of January 6th, 2021 were a beautiful thing. He again made the comment of, some people thought it was just the best day, as if all of those folks are just misunderstood. But every time he praises the people who invaded the United States Capitol and tried to help a president overturn an election, it just makes it that much less likely that he could ever, ever again win a national election. Keeping in mind, of course, that he never has won a national election in terms of the popular vote. But, you know, is he going to be able to carry Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania again? Can he carry Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, all of these close swing states? Not if he continues to praise January 6th. There's a difference between defending yourself on the charges and bragging about the crime. And Trump, for all of the bravado, and he'll never back down, and he'll never accept a plea deal, that is right up there with the old saying, you know, about the person who defends himself has a fool for a client. And he certainly has gone through a lot of lawyers, and now some of those lawyers are facing charges. As well they should, because again, they went beyond the scope of just offering legal advice and counsel to taking part in activities that they knew or should have known were illegal. So now we'll see the timeline on all of these different trials, because again, you have the Georgia one, which is a state case involving trying to overturn the election. You have the federal charge from Jack Smith of trying to overturn the election. You have the federal charge from Jack Smith related to mishandling nuclear secrets and other classified documents. And then you have the state charges up in New York State about the hush money payments to a porn star to cover up an alleged extramarital affair shortly after your wife gave birth to your son. All of these things are going to keep Donald Trump busy over the next year. And yet somehow, in Milwaukee last night, apart from Chris Christie and to a lesser degree, Mike Pence and Nikki Haley, so very little was said along the lines of, hey guys, if we're going to beat Joe Biden, it can't be with Donald Trump because it's not going to happen. But first, any of those folks on stage have to show that they could get more votes than Trump in the primaries, and then have to, again, find that balance of not going so far to the right to win a primary that they can't win a general election. Everybody's talking this morning about Vivek Ramaswamy and how he was definitely the most MAGA of the candidates, and he was so in your face, and he got so noticed. And I'm bringing him up too, but I'm bringing him up in the context of, yeah, listen to the words he said. Look at the positions he took. Never mind that he was, you know, sarcastic and, you know, just completely, you know, trying to bull in a china shop his way through into coverage. Yeah, he got the coverage. It's the substance of the remarks that are not going to sit well with most voters. Now, some voters, they don't care about that. They're not looking for substance. They're going, that's the guy. He's a fighter. He's a fighter. He talks about revolution. We need a revolution. Well, that's what Donald Trump tried to do, was a revolution. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's what he was trying to do. There's a lot about our political system that should be fixed, that could really use some fixing. But revolution, by trying to overturn elections, ain't the way to go about doing it. And yet we're going to see, you know, four different trials of a former president who is still the front runner on the Republican side. Now, again, Chris Christie, to his credit, said, you know, a couple of things about that, of saying, look, all of us on this stage agree on many positions, but then one of us is going to have to sell this to the country. And can Donald Trump do that? And he made the case that no, he could not, but that he, Chris Christie, could, being a Republican who was elected in a blue state. He pointed out that he is the only Republican who on that stage who beat an incumbent Democrat in an election. But he's also persona non grata throughout the Republican Party. Same goes for Mike Pence, who could raise the point that he is the most experienced. But, you know, again, he can't get over the hump of, you know, the Trump wing of the party that thinks that he did something wrong by standing up for the Constitution. And so then you drop down to a Nikki Haley, who, you know, again, on abortion, said some things that were fairly moderate. But then this is also the same Nikki Haley who talked about, you know, COVID lockdowns and putting millions of people on Medicaid and then food stamps, and the way they sneer food stamps, like apparently there's something wrong with children being fed. And her point being, again, she made the point very quickly, but I didn't miss it, that, you know, there are all these people who need to be kicked off of Medicaid, who need to lose their health care. Again, former Governor Nikki Haley, what's your solution to that? And it always seems to be, you know, the free market. Vivek Ramaswamy did the same thing with education. He said he'd abolish the education department and give $80 billion to parents for vouchers. What does that really do? We've already shown in Wisconsin over and over, we've already shown that voucher schools are no better than public schools, and that now we're paying for two school systems. But boy, to hear those candidates talking about teachers' unions and breaking the backs of the teachers' unions, it was such an anti-teacher, and let's admit it, anti-education bent in so many of the comments, that it really is just a matter of, you know, give kids a skill and send them out in the workforce, especially in the case of, you know, Ramaswamy, if they're guys. Women, you can stay home. So if you are any kind of a defender of public education and quality education, you cannot have been encouraged by what you heard. We'll take a break here and have Kristen Lyerly coming up next, and we'll learn about the Door County Farm for Vets next. You're up north. I always like when we let people choose their own walk-up music. We get to learn so much about them, and we're going to learn more from Jacob Vandenplas of the Door County Farm for Vets in just a moment. But you are listening to Hometown Health here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us now from the Desert Southwest. How are you doing? You had a busy night, didn't you?
Oh, I did. We had a baby in the middle of the night, but it was a beautiful birth, and she was smiling when the baby came out, and the baby was howling, and, you know, it wasn't great timing, but I'll take a happy howling baby and a happy mom anytime.
And is it true, as we mentioned during the music segment, when we played that number one song from Paul Anka from 1974, are you guys required to play "You're Having My Baby" every time there's a birth that goes on there?
That is not true.
Okay, good.
We do not.
Just wanted to take care of that urban legend that I just made up. All right, let's turn now to our hometown health topic, and you're going to bring in Jacob here from Door County Farm for Vets. Tell us a bit about what led you to the farm and to Jacob.
Well, Jacob and I go way back. Actually, you know, Pat, you and Jacob have something in common. You're both former congressional candidates in Wisconsin. Okay. Jacob ran for the 8th CD last time around, and that was where we first met. I was so impressed with his dedication, his desire to do good in the world. And then after all of that was over, what he was doing on his farm just blew me away. So I wanted to just share the love with everybody out there and give Jacob the opportunity to talk about the good work that he's doing with the DC Farm for Vets. Jacob Vandenplas, welcome to Hometown Health.
Thank you for letting me join. It's definitely an honor.
So tell us, the DC Farm for Vets is a real farm. It generates real produce, but that's not actually your primary goal, is it?
No, our primary goal is to actually end veteran suicide. And we're still floating around 17 and a half veterans a day committing suicide. And that is our real mission, is getting veterans back together, and not just back together, but teaching them how to grow nutrient-dense produce. We feel that your overall health, whether it's physical or mental health, actually starts with the food that you consume. So if we can get nutrient-dense produce into the hands of more and more veterans and get veterans together to have some of those tougher conversations, that's what we're here for.
And you said 17 veterans a day, and that's a number that I hear quoted pretty often. Yeah. But in doing some research, I'm seeing 22, and depending on how they look at the numbers, as many as 44 veterans a day are committing suicide.
It's just such an epidemic.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of people don't know, like, the overall numbers. A great thing to look at, and I encourage everybody to look at, is the study called The Cost of War from Brown's University. And the numbers that they put together, and this was published in May of 2021, and at that point in time, there was 7,070 post 9/11 veterans. So this is just the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, 7,070 we lost in combat. And as of May of 2021, we lost 31,177 to suicide. Wow. So we've lost more post 9/11 veterans to suicide than we lost in the entire Revolutionary War. This is an epidemic. The VA is not helping. Our government is continuing to escalate situations where they're going to create more combat troops that they're already not going to take care of. And it's time that we, as veterans that have survived those struggles, step up and start taking action. And it's not just me. There are an exorbitant amount of other nonprofit organizations that are coming together and providing hunting and fishing trips for veterans and vacations for veterans. We wanted to do something a little bit more. We wanted to teach a skill. So whether you're growing a patio, a little herb garden on the back of your deck, or you want to get into full production farming, and or anything in between, we're here for it. We've also partnered up with Robertson's Orchards. So if you wanted to learn apples and cherry orchards, we can get you training on that. We've partnered up with Door County Mushroom Company, so you can learn how to grow mushrooms. We're also in the process of working with some herbalists, so you can learn about some of the traditional medicines and stuff that we've got floating around either the property or in your backyard. Something as simple as St. John's wort. I got a whole pile of it sitting in the field back there. So instead of going to the pharmacy and buying any capsules, you can make a wonderful tea. And obviously, consult your doctor before taking any medicines out of the field.
Jacob, what's your own background that led you to starting the farm for vets?
I actually all started at University of Wisconsin in Green Bay. I was in environmental science class, and the first assignment we had was to watch this movie called King Corn, and then go 2 weeks without eating or drinking anything that had corn in it, and that was relatively difficult. So after that, we started watching product labels and made the decision to start looking for a little piece of property. And we ended up stumbling upon a whole 40-acre farm when I was actually just looking for the greenhouses. But nonetheless, fast forward, we weren't even looking for houses or farms. But we essentially bought almost close to a turnkey operation. And within 2 weeks of moving in, we started planting and going at it. And we've made an absorbent amount of mistakes, learning what not to do. And now we're finally getting to the position where we're getting really efficient. And now we want to start teaching others on how to do it. We're partnered up with several other farms. Every farmer's got a farmer mentor. So we're here to be that. So whether you come to the farm and actually learn what's going on, we have apprenticeship programs set up every Thursday, like this evening. We're probably going to have somewhere between 8 and 10 individuals here helping harvest, and we put on food afterwards. This Sunday, we're having a harvest party. We're harvesting all of our honey and having a corn roast afterwards. So if you've never had fresh sweet corn with honey drizzled over the top, I highly encourage it. And if you care to join us for that event, it starts at noon.
I love how you talk about how your journey has taken you in places that you never expected. And you just remained open to it. And you made lots of mistakes along the way, but continued to refine as you made your way toward this really important goal.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's part of the thing that we're trying to streamline. We're really looking to get veterans actually into vegetable production. So we are working with several different organizations. We are part of a co-op called Seasonal Harvest out of Green Bay, and that's who the brunt of our sales and stuff goes through, and they sell to bigger organizations like school systems and the Packers and some other nonprofits that actually help disenfranchised communities. At least twice a month, we got boxes going out to some disenfranchised communities. But being able to serve something bigger than yourself is something that we all lose when we get out of the military. We're all inherently wired to do such. So being able to serve those disenfranchised communities in school systems is definitely an honor. We also do a transplant program in the springtime for a couple of private schools so that children can get their hands in the dirt and they can start learning how to grow stuff at a younger age. Because my grandparents, both my grandpas had to have a garden in the backyard in order to feed their families. That was the times. My dad had a garden as a hobby. My generation has no clue how to grow anything anymore.
Very true.
So we're trying to bring that back, and to be able to have that nutrient dense produce is very, very critical to your overall health. You feel better. Your mindset is better. You sleep better. And the way that we have produced food in this country over time is creating exorbitant amounts of climate change that is not helping things overall. So bringing everything back home, teaching how to garden, teaching how to grow produce. We also teach how to can. We teach how to butcher animals and process animals. All of that is part of it. So it's not just growing produce. It's also teaching how to live sustainably. So it's a good program.
I was going to say about the program, can you take us through you know, if there's a typical example when somebody new, a veteran, reaches out to you, this is not a matter of just handing them a hoe or, you know, or a bucket and saying, go milk the cow over there. Tell us about the programs themselves.
Well, a lot of it's tailored to what you want to get out of it. So we kind of start off on Thursday nights. That's when the brunt of the force shows up. And we kind of get to know you and kind of get a feel for what you want to get out of the program. If you wanted to get into the backyard stuff, we'll teach you how to do that. We'll walk you through it. We'll help you get set up. I'll even show up with the tractor and the tiller to tear up the property for you. We are working on a substantial grant to have an equipment library to share tools amongst the veterans, especially ones with disabilities, so that they can actually do this, because there is some labor involved, and having a bad back's not always a good thing. But it really comes down to what they want to get out of it. You can come up to the farm and just help out on the farm and take all the produce home that you want. You can come can on the farm. We have all the tools here, so you can either work here with us, or we can work with you getting set up on your own property as well.
What if I know someone who is struggling right now? How can I connect that person to you and the amazing work that you're doing on the farm?
You can have them send them directly to our website, www.dcfarmforvets.org, or give them my phone number. Have them call me directly. If I don't answer right away, please leave a message or text. I'm out here for it, 920-604-4074. I typically don't answer numbers that pop up because it's usually trying to extend my vehicle warranty. But that's a conversation for another day. But no, reach out. Or also you can find us on Facebook at DC Farm for Vets, and reach out any way that you can. Pass out my phone numbers. We got a card. We're also at the Green Bay Farmers Market every single Saturday down at the end. Slinging peppers and eggplant. God, we got so much eggplant. If you like eggplant, we're working with this new fish fertilizer, and it's some pretty extraordinary stuff. We went from pulling 20 to 30 pounds of eggplant a week to 167 pounds last week. So, oops.
Wow.
It's a lot of eggplant.
For our listeners across the state and beyond who aren't veterans, but are hearing what you're saying and feel as energized and motivated as I do to contribute in some way to the great work that you're doing, how can other people get involved?
You can come on up Thursdays and help harvest, and you can also contribute. So we've got contributorship programs and sponsorship programs. A contributorship program comes in at $10 a month. And that is a monthly subscription, and the sponsorship is at $20 a month. All of those funds that come into us is what helps fund the organization, keeps the bills paid, and buys the seed and the seed starter and the planters and all the good jazz that goes with it, so that we can continue to move forward. And we do have a commitment to the community that every dollar that does get donated to us, we also donate back into the community in either plants or produce. So we work a lot with the Veterans Villages out of Appleton. We deliver plants to them each year. After the Green Bay Farmers Market, we do swing into the Veterans Home in Green Bay and drop off some produce for them. We work with Vets and Friends out of Appleton. We hooked them up with a bunch of seeds and plants this spring. So any way that we can help, and any kind of contributions, if you've got some old farm tools that you're looking to get rid of, we need that stuff too. So any way that we can get any help is definitely appreciated.
And I don't mean to either make light of a serious situation here, but we've talked about veteran suicides, but I can hear people saying, well, I don't need anything. I'm not suicidal. If you are a veteran of any type, you don't wait for the crisis to reach out to you or anybody else to try to find some help, maybe find a new direction out there.
Absolutely. The biggest thing is coming together. You can help other veterans by simply being present and hearing what they got to say. Veterans speak a different language when they're amongst each other, and that's what it comes down to. And learning how to navigate the labyrinth that we like to call the VA, it's a whole other animal. So we can help actually navigate through that. We can talk through our personal experiences that we've had with the VA to make sure that you're utilizing it properly. And we're connected with an abundance of other organizations too. So if I don't have the answer, or if I don't know what is going on, I at least know somebody that I can call and help you get the answer that you need. Please reach out. We're all tired of going to funerals. A suicide, you're just passing that pain on to someone else. Mm-hmm. Please call. We want you here. We want you healthy.
The website again is DC Farm for Vets. That's the Door County Farm for Vets, dcfarmforvets.org. And Jacob Vandenplas is the founder of it. Thank you so much for everything, for the not just the work, but the hope and the encouragement that you're giving others, not just veterans, but their loved ones. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you kindly. It was my honor.
It was ours as well. Thanks so much for being here, and let us know if we can be helpful in any way in the future here. We will take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk to Luke Mathers, I believe, who spent a little time last weekend. Check my notes here. Oh, yeah, he got married. Yeah, we'll see how that went with him, and talk more with Dr. Lyerly as well. And a reminder, we'll have Mark Jacob on tomorrow for more of the national media coverage of the Milwaukee presidential debate. We'll be back. You're up north. Why do I have a sense that he actually had walk-up music for his own wedding and that they played this?
Everybody has walk-up
as he strutted down. You know, usually it's the groom waiting and then the bride walks to him. And I could totally see it the other way. Like, nope, she's going to stand there and Luke's just going to shuffle on down to this.
No,
not at all. Was it anything like that, Mr. Mathers? Congratulations.
Thank you. I do not have any of the Kreitlow fortitude Swagger. To be able to do something like that. I don't know.
Because I did that. Yeah, back in 1986. I was all about the swagger.
Yeah, I could see it. I could picture it.
No, none of us could. None of us. How was it?
It was fantastic. It was amazing. It was incredible. It was over far too quickly and still on cloud nine.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a little bit of a hangover, honestly, but not like the hangover in the hangover sense, just like the planning hangover. Like so much went into it and then it occurred. Like Kelsey and I are just kind of around the house lounging now. Like, did this really like all of it, all of the pomp and circumstance? And now it's done. So we're cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. Boxes are still coming to the house. It's a weird, it feels like Christmas most days because every day I get home, there's at least another package waiting on the stoop, which is pretty cool too.
But you did do a registry, I'm sure.
Yes.
Right? Okay. That's the difference between you kids. Back in my day, you knew this was coming. Back in my day, you got what you got for wedding presents. You know, there were some registries, but it was a lot of work and it was on paper lists and everything. I don't know what people thought about us that we ended up with like 4 or 5 different cookie jars, ceramic cookie jars of different animals. It was like everybody's grandma had a ceramics class and said, you know, take this. And then I don't want this. I'm going to give it to somebody for a wedding present. And a few other things that, again, we didn't really want or need. And now you just kind of say, hey, get me that. And people get you that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool interesting. The wedding website had the registry on there, and they have all of these wedding sites now that offer these different services. But it's strange because it doesn't necessarily always include like a note or anything like that, or even a name from who sent it to you. So it's kind of like a box shows up.
You get
and
the
then
messages
you're like
hey, whoever
this?
Got me this, yeah, thank like, you. Yeah,
it is weird. And we had one of the old-fashioned mishaps like that as well. After we collected all the presents from the presents table on Saturday, got them back to the hotel, and then got them to our house the following day, and we lost a card. It disappeared from the presents. So there was a bottle of champagne and a nice bottle of whiskey, and there was no card to go along with them.
That was me.
We figured out the dilemma. I actually sent a message to my buddy who I believed he and his wife had got them for us. And I said, hey, this seems like a you gift, but I don't have a card, so I don't know for certain. And he goes, no, how did the card get lost? And then we rendezvoused with our friend who helped transport the presents from the venue to the hotel, and it just fell off in the trunk. So we got that the next day, and we were able to say thank you properly.
One more question on the registry stuff. Was there one item that's kind of your go for broke high end? We're like, I don't know if anybody will get this, but we're going to put it on the list anyway. Did you put something? And then did you get it or not?
Yeah, Yes to both. And it was actually, this was a, we got it for the shower too, though. It was interesting. I threw a very nice high-end coffee maker on there. And this was a completely me gift. Kelsey does not drink coffee. So she was like, if throw it on there, maybe a couple people will chip in. It'll be a group gift or something like that. And one of her family members got it for us as a shower present. And I was extremely thankful. And I'm still in shock and awe because she was like, what the heck? Why is my family contributing to your coffee addiction? So she was a little, upset about that, but
it was on the list.
So you can't get what you don't ask for. So throw them on there, folks. If you're planning, you never know what some very generous loved ones will do for you when it comes to those wedding registries.
Kristen, how's the registry experience for you? When you see that, do you like, depending on the person, do you go, okay, what can I really get them that's nice? Or do you even like registries? Do you just go off book and go, I'm going to get them a cookie jar?
It's been so long since I've gone to a wedding, and I feel like things have changed so much over time. I honestly don't even really know right now.
Sherry and I have talked about that too. We used to be going to weddings all the time. And then you were going to graduations, you know, all the time. And, you know, right now it's like, thankfully I'm not I'm in between the phase where I'm not saying I'm going to funerals all the time. And I'm like, because I hear people say that too. Maybe we need to carry that over. Maybe there needs to be a registry.
Hey, there's registries
like,
for like,
hey, kids. Get this for my loved ones when I'm gone, you know, or something like that. So
I don't know about that.
I think
that
I just invented Amazon's next thing. Don't think they wouldn't go with it if they thought they could make money off of that, you know?
Well, even little kids now. My sister runs like it's an Amazon wish list, but essentially it's a registry for my nieces and nephews' birthday parties now. Because it's this is what we're looking for. This is what we prefer. If you want to get presents, not necessary, but there's registries for a lot of things. So maybe you're onto something, Pat.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially once your kids are adults and you know your family is scattered around the country. Yes, we actually use those wish lists as basically a Christmas list, because otherwise you get the back and forth like, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I don't know. And so I'm the one that actually started it. I'm like, look, throughout the year you see something, put it on the wish list so that you know your mom and I can look at this. And mm-hmm. you know, some years they're better at it than others, but that's what we've interneted everything, much like our last guest said, nobody knows how to grow their own food anymore. I think if Amazon went away, we would not know how to shop for people who live far away anymore.
I got zucchinis for days if you need any. I've been growing all my own food.
Oh, God, the zucchini is back. And then when he mentioned
the
eggplant in the last segment, I'm just imagining Lyerly going, oh, give me a bag of those. I'll put them on Kreitlow's doorstep, you know.
Because that's my dream, is to put a bag of eggplants on your doorstep.
No, there's nothing passive aggressive about you at all that would lend yourself to that. Jeepers. So, Luke, I asked you last week, and I know you said you weren't taking the honeymoon right away, but I don't think I pressed you further. Have you made arrangements yet for one?
They're in progress right now. So going to over the pond, at least for a little while. So towards the end of September, early October, you will not be able to hear from me on these civic media stations for a little while.
We'll manage, you know. I think we'll be okay.
But what you can hear on these civic media stations, especially across the civic media network at noon, the Cripes cast, we got Ed Bieber joining Charlie Behrens, Ed the Diver, talking about water recovery, underwater recovery. And then on WAUK, you can listen to this week's Bird on the Wire with Lou Ann Bird sitting down with Tanya Atkinson, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. So that
tried
you
to
can
make
hear.
One segment all about him, and he's still pitching the product. The man's always on message. He's so good at this job.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Aaron. You guys all have a great day. Thank you all for being here as well for this Thursday edition. Again, a reminder that you can reach us anytime. You can just email us at radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. Click newsletter in the top banner of upnorthnewswi.com. Earl Ingram's next in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine. Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward, and Oshkosh. Chad Holmes in Wausau. Stephanie Miller in Madison. James Jay and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids. And they're all followed by Kristen Bryan, as goes Wisconsin. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.